This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. In the studio with me, Juliet Jacobs and Sharmila Ganesan, who is wielding the social media wand today.
Well, we're asking you maybe not a very cheery question, but one that's quite relevant. What would be your biggest priority if your job future looked uncertain? So at the moment, the highest for most of you at 36.8% is exploring other careers. Following that, 31% upskilling. And 26.4% of you said saving money. Very relatable. And only 5.7% of you said you're not worried about your job future looking uncertain. So you can that's a very low number. So you can continue to tweet us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can take our poll. You can tell us what you think about how you feel about your job future. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So why are we asking you this question? Because by March 2020, that's a scant 3 months away, it is expected that nearly 1,500 staff from Media Premium Berhad will be out of a job due to a massive restructuring exercise announced recently by the media group. Now, at the beginning of this week, affected employees were served their official notifications and were assured that compensation payments would be made in full upon completion of internal as well as regulatory processes.
Yeah, and this, of course, could not have been an easy decision and required several rounds of consultation with the System Television Malaysia Berhad Employees Union, the TV3 Executive Union, the NSTP branch of the National Union of Journalists Peninsula Malaysia, and the National Union of Newspaper Workers. So in its press release, Media Prima Berhad also pointed out that the group would not only provide fair and equitable compensation as governed by the Employment Act, but also additionally provide job outplacement services and also career counselling.
So it's certainly not the last. We're going to be hearing of companies downsizing because data from the Social Security Organisation, or SOCSO, indicated that there were 23,697 layoffs in 2018. Mm. So when you look at the numbers this year, the situation looks rather grim because by November this year alone, that figure has climbed to 37,260 retrenched workers. And also SOCSO's figures only indicate those who apply for unemployment benefits. Yep. So this doesn't include contract or freelance workers who don't have SOCSO benefits.
So it's completely understandable, right, that organizations will have to undertake all sorts of manpower restructuring exercises in order to stay afloat in uncertain economic times. You can't ignore the fact that putting a person out of a job is a gut-wrenching change. I'm fairly certain that, you know, none of these companies that are restructuring actually want to be booting out staff, especially staff that have been loyal to them throughout the years, right? And when it comes to retrenched employees, the feelings of anxiety and displacement run deep, you know. But on a more macro scale, the nation losing part of its workforce represents a fairly serious waste of accumulated skills and talent.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, like you said, retrenchment is never easy, more so when employees have worked in industries that are considered more niche, you know.
Yeah.
So it's no secret that the media industry in Malaysia is comparatively small, and it's not uncommon for people to move between media organizations, crossing between those print and broadcast and digital lines. So when jobs become more scarce, what else do these people from the media, where else do media people go?
So to answer that question, I reached out to Harish Deel, who's Deputy President of the Press Club of Malaysia. He's also editor of 2213. I first asked Harish what his thoughts were on Media Prima's recent announcement.
It would be foolish for anyone to not anticipate for something like this to happen. The industry has been really badly hit. I think the only other industry that we've heard of massive layoffs were like about 5-6 years ago when the oil and gas industry was badly hit by market forces and whatnot. But right now, so what has happened to Media Prima is no longer shocking. We see this worldwide. It's a worldwide trend.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we've seen numerous revamps. We've seen numerous media outfits retrenching, you know, letting people go, and they assure or they pacify the current staff, saying that we've got a new business model, but no one takes the time to elaborate what exactly the business model is. Now, that I think is the more scary bit, not knowing what you're heading into for the staff who remain with the organization.
Because I suppose there is no way of knowing if you still have a place in this new business model.
The thing is this, this industry is quite, I don't know what specific word to use. Is it unique or is it, unfortunate? But the thing is this, no one seems to have the right answer. And, the quick fix would normally or usually be to mimic what happens elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to realize that the readership patterns, the demographics, they all play a crucial role. Internet penetration. So I've known of certain organizations that actually use Singapore as a benchmark. And I would personally say that Singapore would be a wrong benchmark simply because of various reasons. Population, how people there consume news is different than how we consume news.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say we, sometimes the decision makers think or tend to think very Klang Valley centric,
mm-hmm.
but they fail to realize that Malaysia is beyond the Klang Valley.
Of course.
So yeah, people out there, people, let's say for example in Taiping, I've got family in Taiping, and when they pick up the paper or when they watch the news, there's nothing about Taiping, unless if there's a murder there or something of that sort. Otherwise, there's nothing. So they don't feel that sense of belonging, and because of that, people just shy away from something that does not, cover or does not pay any interest into their well-being. But then again, the other question would be, how do you monetize it from small towns? So yeah, we can go on and on about this, but one thing for sure, no one has got the right formula, and it's, we've been experimenting for I think over 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think media organizations are still experimenting, and it's going to be very difficult to find the right solution at present time.
Okay, so let's look at the present time then.
Yeah.
In light of the announcement of the retrenchments, for somebody who's been a journalist or a sub-editor or a photographer for most of their career, really, what are the options, in your view, available to them in what is very evidently a shrinking job market?
The options are plenty, to be honest. We are living in a very unique environment whereby everything is evolving, and there is this dire need to have people setting the tone, the narratives, the storytelling aspect.
Mm.
Now, to market or to push forward a certain brand or a certain thought, you need good writers, you need good sub-editors. So their roles will always be there in the market. It's just that whether the individual is willing to evolve. Now, to your question about like photography and photographers and videographers and even graphic designers,
mm-hmm.
their roles are way, way stronger now than ever, simply because we live in a very visual world.
Right.
People don't read beyond headlines. People don't read beyond two lines these days. But when a picture attracts them or a poster attracts them, and it kind of stays in their head for a long, long time. So this is where photographers, videographers, and even graphic designers, in my opinion, have the upper hand. And, you usually in newsroom, these individuals are often the lowest paid. But mm-hmm. when they go out there, they would soon realize if they are, they have that entrepreneurship DNA in them, they mm-hmm. would then realize that, they've been missing out on a lot of things.
Okay. So do you feel that besides these technical skills, right, do you feel that there are some core competencies that you can glean from working in the media industry that could be easily applied to other careers, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, it really depends. Once again, you see, the best part about me working in the media industry, take me, for example, I've been there for about 20 years. And I've learned a lot of things beyond just covering a story. It's about, how do you tackle a particular story? And this is important when it comes to brands trying to tackle a particular demographic,
mm-hmm.
to promote their particular brand. How do you actually, what visual will impact people the most? And you would then realize that, emotions, you know, a face with a whole lot of emotions. Now, that can attract people. So these are so small little skills that will actually help. Now, other skills as well, soft skills. You interview, I mean, I've interviewed from the road sweepers to even royalties. And, you know, it's those kind of soft skills. How do you approach a stranger? How do you talk to them? Make them feel comfortable. These are soft skills that no classroom would teach you and no other organization would teach you. In fact, a lot of organizations are actually looking for help in these areas. And this is where journalists, if they look beyond reporting, they would soon realize that they've picked up a whole lot of skills along the way, and these skills are actually in demand.
Okay. Harish, any final words to your fellow journos, fellow press people who are going to find themselves in perhaps uncertain waters in the months to come?
It's going to be tough, given the fact that, you know, even foreign banks based here are saying that it's going to be an even tougher 2020. Things are not going to be rosy, that's for sure. But one thing for sure, I've told this, I'm the deputy president of the National Press Club of Malaysia. I also run my own news website, and I've informed this to the guys who just got retrenched from NSC, even to the Utusan guys and all the staff who have worked there. Look, if they need any form of assistance, if they need any form of help, even beefing up their resume or even writing their resume, because some of them have been in the industry for 20 years that have not updated their resume. They don't even know what their latest template looks like.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm here to assist. My team, 2213, we are here to assist. This is the least we can do for our fellow colleagues, because what can happen to them can happen to any one of us in this industry.
That was Harish Deol, Deputy President of the Press Club of Malaysia and editor of 2213, with a very kind and generous offer, I thought, for media personnel who've been affected by the recent wave of retrenchments. If you need help updating your CV or resume, please reach out, because Harish and his team are there to help.
So the question of whether retrenchment is legal or whether the employee has been unfairly dismissed is something that has been well documented, right? In the recent situation with Media Prima, the negotiations were long and complex because the right of the employees to fair compensation were also championed by trade unions, who will ensure that the best possible outcome is achieved. And it is the best outcome, and that it is the best outcome, but not the ideal outcome, because at the end of the day, Media Prima Berhad is going through with the retrenchment and has made a very public admission that its business is struggling.
Oh, yeah.
So from a legal perspective, companies do have the right to organise their enterprise in whatever way that maximises their profit.
They
right?
are a business. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, of course, the underlying principle of running a business. So what our courts do is recognise that companies can restructure in a bona fide manner, meaning that the reason for the restructuring has to be sound.
Yeah.
And in most cases, the courts will recognise that poor economic conditions is a valid enough reason to do that.
So another term that you sometimes hear with retrenchment is last in, first out, right? Referring to the fact that seniority is almost always prioritized over those recently hired. And while this may have been true in the past, I actually feel that it isn't as relevant anymore, simply because a new hire these days may have a higher skill set if they're a digital native.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I've seen this, personal experience from hiring people, right? They might not have the industry experience that's required, but if companies are thinking about long-term benefits of restructuring, they might need to consider staff who are flexible and nimble when it comes to adopting what is an inevitable new technology.
Mm. Yeah. And right. Also because you're paying your senior staff a lot more than your junior staff. Mm. So sometimes that is it's a logical decision as well.
Mm.
Especially if your senior staff are not necessarily upskilling or
stubborn towards going in those directions.
Mm. Have you ever thought what it would be like to be out of a job?
I have, and it has terrified me because I have two young children to feed. And I've actually come across people who would be willing to take whatever pay cuts just as long as there was an income. And I somehow think that might be what I would actually do as well if, you know, that situation came to me.
For me, it is actually very anxiety. I mean, I don't have a family. So essentially, my income is mostly for myself. Mm-hmm. But it's something that gives me a lot of anxiety to think about, because I was raised to think that no matter what, you should be self-sufficient, right? You don't have to. My parents are very, my mom is very independent. So the agreement was always, well, you know, you don't have to take care of us as many other people might have to, but be able to take care of yourself. And so, yes, it's a fear. And I've just spent 6 months in my life sort of freelancing. And even then, I had a lot of anxiety, just the not having a steady job, not having steady income coming into the bank. That's not to say a lot of freelancers don't do very well, but it's, I think, a sort of a mental shift that takes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, I mean, I certainly grew up with more a more sort of traditional outlook from my parents, for example. You know, both of them had been in careers that lasted 25, 30 years with the same organization. Mm-hmm. And when I started working, I found that it didn't appeal to me. And, you know, I jumped jobs very, very often, 2 years, 3 years. And basically, these days, you would call it the gig economy, because what I was doing back then was basically short-term freelance contracts. And it appealed to me. It appealed to my scatty nature, I suppose, to be able to do that. But I also feel that it gave me depth in many different types of aspects of the industry that I was interested in, which was media and communications. But I know that if you do stay in one job for many years, there is the danger of becoming set in your ways.
Yes, definitely.
And what does that, where does that then leave you should the rug be pulled out from under your feet?
I don't think it's easy at all to... So I came to BFM after being in my previous organization, also a media organization, for 12 years. And even that for me was a huge shift. What more, you know, my seniors who have been in that position for decades, right? Because it just feels different. Everything is different. Everything changes. You feel like your security blanket or the rug you had under you has been yanked away. And I remember actually going through like this weird, almost depressive phase. And I thought there was something wrong with me until people pointed out, no, but it is a big change. We don't account for the fact that if a long relationship ends or, you know, that's a big deal. But your job is often a relationship as well.
It is, because it does offer emotional fulfillment as well.
That's true. That's true.
If you love your work, especially. I also feel that this is going to become more and more true in the years to come. It's going to be imperative, I think, to just not do one job. The ability to reskill yourself and upskill yourself, even within whatever scope that you do. But have you ever thought about what you would do if you had to move jobs and it had to be in a completely different field, for example?
Well, I luckily, because I've always been a journalist, right? One of the things that I've always thought was it allows you a window into many things. You're constantly doing different things every day.
Which is exactly what Harish said.
Yeah. So in some sense, that gave me a certain amount of confidence that even if I had to go into a completely new industry, which, I mean, I didn't. I moved from print to radio. But otherwise, I still thought, well, no, I know something about these different industries and how they work. So for me, I didn't have so much of that trepidation, I think.
For me, it was I would try and do something completely different, and I would take time out to actually learn a new skill and just attempt something completely different, only because I think our industry is saturated. And if there's a layoff, there's just so
where would everybody go,
right? Yeah. So I would try and skill or upskill myself to do something different completely
I'm going to bank on the fact that I can make spinach rotis and keema.
There you go. And that is a growing industry,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Lunchboxes.
Industry. Healthy lunchboxes.
So actually our social media poll when we were asking on Twitter, exploring other careers is the leading priority that most people have chosen. So we were asking what would be your biggest priority if your job future seemed uncertain. So almost 38% of you say exploring other careers, and almost 30% say upskilling. So both related things there. Of course, you know, undeniably, 26% of you say saving money, but only 6.3% of people are not worried about their job future.
Good for them. Yeah. Good for them. I think that if you're in a position where you don't have to worry, that's something to celebrate. And on that note, everybody have a wonderful weekend ahead, because that is all the time that we have for today's show. Look us up on on Facebook. We're BFM The Bigger Picture if you want to drop us a message. If you missed any part of the show today, please download the podcasts, bfm.my/thedailydigest or via the BFM app or via Spotify.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.